Matthew chapter 5. This morning we're going to look at verses 17 through 32 of Matthew chapter 5. And Christ is challenging the crowd to change the way they're thinking. We have studied Matthew all the way up from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to this point now. We're going to continue to study every verse in the book of Matthew on Sunday morning. We've seen that his genealogy, his birth, his young life, Christ has always been a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy.
Amen.
The forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, was a prophesied event. Christ gets baptized and he starts his earthly ministry under the commission of God. And all the crowd that day when Christ was baptized saw the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. We serve a triune unity God. We're the only faith that does so. Then he goes out to the wilderness. He's tempted of the devil in chapter 4. And he's tempted just like we are, yet without sin. So we have a great high priest that makes intercession for us that's touched by the same infirmities that we have, the same troubles that we go through, all the same things. And after he's been tested by God, he starts on ministry. And he starts in Jerusalem and then goes to Nazareth. Moves from Nazareth to Capernaum because he was rejected in Nazareth. And there's a world out there rejecting him today. But I thank my God that I can bless the Lord with my soul. Amen. And everyone that knows him can bless the Lord with their soul. And folks, I hope you came to church this morning expecting a blessing. I hope you came to church this morning to worship God. I hope you came to church this morning to learn more of His Word. And so now there's great crowds following Him. And Christ finds a mountain. And He goes to the top. So He can talk to everybody and everybody can see Him. Do you see Jesus in your life? Do you hear His voice? And he goes through, as we went through last week, the Beatitudes. And basically he's telling his disciples and the crowd there, he says, these are the things that you need to be, but you're not, and you can't get there without a relationship with God. These are the things that you can be if you have a relationship with God. You can be merciful. You can bring peace. You can mourn. You will be persecuted. You'll hunger for and thirst for righteousness. He says, you can't be those things unless you have a relationship with me. And then he goes on and says, if you have a relationship with me, you will be salt and light in the earth. If you have a truly living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, you will be salt and light in the earth. You'll make a difference. What difference are you making in other people's lives because of the difference that Christ has made in yours? And we ended with, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So this morning, in order to live a Christian life, we need to change the way we think. There's a story of a man that goes to the dentist's office to have a root canal. Now, if anyone has had the pleasure of having a root canal, that is a very unpleasant experience. Every time I go to the dentist, my blood pressure, they take my blood pressure and it's sky high. I don't like being there. And so they get him set in the chair, get him all prepped up and everything, numbed all the teeth for this. And then the dentist steps out. He comes back in. And he finds the patient standing by the tray of instruments, removing some of the instruments. And the dentist says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm taking away the things that I don't want you to use." And you know, when we are faced with God's word, we have to take the totality of it. Yeah.
Amen.
There are things in God's word that will be unpleasant. There are times that God will deal with us and it's like a root canal because we're stubborn. But we don't have the right to pick and choose about what we're going to believe out of God's word and what we're not going to believe. We have to go through the whole process. And so Christ is continuing his Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking, he's talked to them about this is the kingdom of heaven, and this is what the citizens of the kingdom of heaven will be like. But you need to change your way of thinking. And so now he gives several reasons that we have to change our way of thinking. The first thing that we need to change our way of thinking about is about God's law. In verses 17 through 18, Christ is saying, he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." See, the people were being burdened by trying to keep the law. And they were hoping that this new prophet, this new messenger, was going to release them of all that burden so they could live their own lives and do their own thing free from the law. But that's not it. See, this whole section talks about sin. This whole section says, it's not how you think about things, it's how God says things. So in verse 18 it says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." See, it's just not about the Ten Commandments. It's about the whole Old New Testament. It's about the mystery of God that Christ has revealed through his life and through the New Testament. But heaven and earth still here. God's law still apply. Amen. And I've met many a person who says, "Well, I'm under grace, I'm not under the law." But God still has a standard. See, what's a jot? What's a tittle? I'll show you what a jot is, okay? You go home and make jots all you want now, okay? And they're not those little candy things that you eat either, okay? But a jot was just a little simple pen stroke. And a tittle was a thing that they put on the back of a letter to give it a different meaning. And folks, a small change in behavior can make a great difference. A small change of behavior can have great meaning to God. God's interested in our behavior, and he's interested in having a change down to the minute parts. And so when we think we need change, think about God's law, because we still need the law. No one in here would come to the knowledge of Christ unless they knew that they were a sinner. See, the world out there wants to change all of God's laws so it's not a law anymore. So they're not responsible for it. So they don't need God. I got news for you. God's law still applies. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 verse 20, it says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Don't think you can keep God's law outside of the grace of God. If you think you have, you think your good works are outweighing your bad works, you think you're keeping all, you're wrong. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And from the knowledge of the law is the knowledge of sin." In Galatians chapter 3 verse 24, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." The Old Testament talks about Christ. Christ is standing in front of them on a mountain and says, "I am he. I am he. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by the law." No, justified by faith in him. justified by faith. We need to change our way of thinking about the law. We still need to live by the law. You go out and steal something from Walmart and see what will happen to you. You go out and kill somebody and see where you will wind up. See, the law still applies. It's just that we have the ability now to fulfill it through Christ. And we needed Christ to come and do all the law, down to the minute detail, so He could be the perfect sacrifice. See, God only has one standard. Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words shall not pass away. See that before at the beginning of the service? See, God's law does not change. His standard is still the standard. God's standard is permanent. See, even after we're saved, the law still tells us, and the Holy Spirit still shows us, that we're still sinners, that we still sin, and that we need forgiveness that Christ gives on the cross for that.
Amen.
And we need to understand that. That not only God has one standard, but God's standard is permanent. And that Christ is the fulfillment of all of God's law. He did the law. He fulfilled all the prophecy of the law. And He's standing right in front of them. And He's calling them to make a decision. Christ is calling you to make a decision today whether or not you're going to follow Him or not. You have a choice. This morning I was talking in the hallway to somebody who did a heinous sin. But that's God's free will. Folks, we just tell the truth. The truth will set us free if we follow it. So, Christ is a fulfillment of God's law. And God does care about the small stuff. See, we tend to overlook the small things. We say, well, it's not that bad. I'm doing all these good things. I'm keeping the big ones. Remember the rich young ruler? He came and he said, I kept all these things. And then Christ said, one thing you what? Lacked. See, you can't get there on your own. One thing you lacked. See, James says in James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, first of all, he didn't keep the whole law. He's guilty of what? All. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole. Well, it's just a little lie. It made you a liar. Well, it only cost 10 cents. It made you a thief. And so, God's interested in the small things. Folks, we need to give God control all of our life. Even the small stuff. So, we need to change our thinking about God's law. It still applies. We just escape the judgment of God's law because we have grace through Christ and His mercy.
Amen.
Through faith in Him. If you're still trying to keep God's law on your own, give it up. Not going to work. Just like you can't give yourself a root canal. You could try, but you're going to fall way short and it's going to be a real mess. It's going to be a real mess. So then he moves on. He's already given them a standard. He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven's like. This is what, I'm not going to release you from the law. You're still under the law. But you need to change the way you're thinking about righteousness. See, for thousands of years now, they've been going under a religious system of the Mosaic law, and they've been picking and choosing what they want to do. Eventually, Christ is going to say, you teach for the doctrine of God the commandments of men. The traditions of men. And this is the first time God's going to call them out. There's Pharisees in the crowd. There's religious people in the crowd. They think they're going someplace. They think they're going to the promised land. Well, not so fast. Because in verses 19 and 20 it says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, that little jot or tittle, you're guilty of the whole law. Those Pharisees, those pious, pompous religious bags. I hope there's no religious person in here this morning that thinks they're better than anybody else. We're all sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. It says, and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven if he gets there in the first place. But whosoever shall do and teach him. Now, I got a question for you. Here's Christ's words. So if you don't think you have to follow God's law, look at this phrase. Let's all read this phrase together. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Not only do we have to do God's law, we have to teach it. So parents, if you're not teaching God's law to your kids, you're not doing what God says to do. If we're not doing it as a church, then we're not doing what God says to do. We're supposed to do that. We need to keep God's law, not to get to heaven, but because we're going there. We need to act like we're part of the kingdom of heaven. We need to act like the children of God. For I say unto you, and here comes the key, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you were a scribe or Pharisee and Christ just told you that, what would your reaction be? You would not be happy. Okay? If you're sitting out there thinking that your church membership is going to get to heaven, if you sit out there thinking that your good works is going to get you to heaven, if you sit out there thinking because you're part of a citizen of the United States that it's going to get you to heaven, if you think they're out there, sitting out there thinking that your mom and dad, because they go to church, you're going to go to heaven because you're their kid. Not happening. You're not going there. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
She shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, heaven is ruled by God's law because there's one standard. It's forever. And the issue is what Christ is telling the crowd there. He says righteousness is more than religious right. We learned that on Wednesday night when we went through Zechariah. Righteousness is more than just religious right and keeping fast and keeping holy days and coming to church and dressing up one way. It's more than that. It's about a relationship. Only you know if you have that relationship this morning. Only you know if the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Only you know where your heart is with God. So we need to change our way of thinking about righteousness. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by His grace He has saved us.
Amen.
So He started some radical thoughts here. He says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is about. He says, you need to change your way to think about sin. It's not going to go away. It's going to stay. I mean, about the law. It's going to stay forever. You need to think about righteousness because it's not the way you're doing it now. See, you needed to look at all the symbols about the sacrifice and all these other things about what you were doing because they all pointed to me. There's something more. You need to change the way you think about how you think. It's kind of odd, but that's the truth. Because in verses 21 through 22, it says this. It says, ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Ten commandments. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or empty head, or foolish one, or you make fun of people, be careful. Be careful what you say about other people. Shall be in danger of the council. Don't care about what men think. Better care about what God thinks about it. It says, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. See, in that crowd, there were the disciples. One of those disciples was John. He gets it. He gets it. Because in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, he writes this. He says, whosoever hateth his brother is a what? Murderer. He got it. He understood. Folks, we understand. Do we understand God's law and make it real to us? John got it. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. There's a lot of people to say they're Christians, but their actions don't prove it. There's a lot of people to say Christians, and your thoughts are impure everywhere. You've got to change your way of thinking about God's law and how we deal with it. You've got to change the way you're thinking about God's righteousness, what righteousness is and how you deal with it. You've got to change the way you think about thinking. See, sin always starts with an unacceptable root thought. The devil made me do it. No, you did it. You had some influence in your life, maybe your own influence, that caused you to do it. My Bible teaches in James chapter 1, not 2, James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? And sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death." See, it all starts with a thought. It all starts with clicking on enter and going to that website. It all starts with picking up that phone and dialing that number. It all starts with opening up that text on your phone. It all starts with going into the place that you shouldn't have been in the first place. Getting in the car and turning the key. It all starts for that. And it leads to a chain of sin, which should not be in the Christian. See, Paul writes. He lists all the stuff in the book of Ephesians. And it says, these things should not even be named once among you as become saints. Mm-hmm. Eventually, this is the first call out on the Pharisees. Eventually, he's going to call them out even more. And he's going to call them sepulchers. He says, you look good on the outside. He says, you wash the outside of the cup, but you're full of filthiness inside. And I got news for you. You can't change. You can't cover up a life of bad thoughts and evil thoughts and thoughts that are contrary to God under a veneer looking good on the outside. Because the Bible says this. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, go read Colossians chapter 3. Talks about all these things, and it's malice and that. Those are thoughts. Those are attitudes. They come from wrong thinking. See, bad thoughts cannot be veneered with an outwardly good appearance. Christ says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Are we living under a facade? You know, the Greeks went through, I may have had the wrong chapter there, but the Greeks went through and put masks on to change what they represented. Do we put a mask on when we come to church? Okay. Might be Proverbs 23. Okay. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So sin starts with an unacceptable root thought. So it goes, it says, you got to change the way you think about God's law. You got to change the way you think about righteousness. You got to change the way you think about how you think. And then it can actually go into the way you live. You need to change the way you think about disputes with your brother. In verses 23 and 24, it says this. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. See, before, earlier in the chapter, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And so now he goes here and he says, look, you need to get this stuff right. When you come offer your gift or your sacrifice. So when you came in here this morning, do you have some ill will against somebody else in the church, in the body of Christ? Did you get that right? before you started worship this morning? You should have. Do you have some ill will or something that you have against your brother or sister here in this church, in this body? You need to get that fixed today. See, because peace with your brother brings freedom in worship. James says in chapter 3, he says, here we bless God and curse men. He says, those things, how same mouth comes blessing, curses, these things should not be so. So, peace with your brother brings freedom in worship. Being reconciled to God means being reconciled with your brother. If your relationship with God is right, then you want to get every relationship this way right. That's radical thinking. Does that mean I can't hold a grudge? Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, he did me wrong. Don't matter. Maybe he needs to be found out. You need to go talk to him or her and fix it. Because how can two walk together except they be what?
Agreed.
So he goes and he says, you need to change your way of thinking about disputes. Well, he did me wrong. I'm just going to sit here and pout. No. But then it goes on and there's more. See, there's another application here. And he's going to go on here and talk about it. But here's the application. Romans chapter 12, verse 18 says this. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. Now, what does that mean? You do whatever you can within your strength, within your resources to do this. That means you just don't try to pick up the call and say, I hope they don't answer, I hope they don't answer, I hope they don't answer. Leave a voicemail and be done with it. That's not it. You talk to him. You keep on going until you get resolution. Well, I'll just send them a text. No. You meet with them face to face. If it be possible, as much as life, and live peacefully with all men. Then in Romans chapter 14, verse 19, Paul writes, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. And things wherewith one may edify another. See, if we have ill will or hold a grudge, that doesn't edify. That doesn't lift up you. That doesn't lift up them. That doesn't lift up God. See, God just went through the Beatitudes. He says, this is what children of the kingdom should act like. You can't do it unless you have a relationship with me. These are the things that you should be, salt and light. You can't be like that if you're doing this. You need to change your way of thinking about dealing with people. And then he goes on with your adversary. In verses 25 through 26, it says, agree with an adversary quickly. Whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till you have paid the uttermost farthing. You know, Paul writes the book of 1 Corinthians, he says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Proverbs says, don't be surety for a stranger. Don't make an agreement with them. Folks, our closest relationship needs to be with other Christians. Close relationships with the world and people in the world can only bring bondage. Can only bring bondage. See, because if we have freedom with our worldly relationships, then peace with your adversary allows us freedom to minister. See, we come in God's house, we have unity together in the Spirit because we're all lifting each other up. We can have freedom in worship. But folks, not being trapped in a bunch of ungodly relationships allows us to go out and minister to people. And they won't put us in a bind. See, there are rules about leadership in the church. Having a good report to all men. See, this is about having a good report. If you have a good report, then we'll be able to minister to other people. So, when you change your way of thinking about God's law, it still applies. We need to still live by it through God's grace. We need to change the way of thinking about about righteousness and what righteousness truly is. It's living in God's grace and His power and doing good works for Him so we let our light shine before men. And it's not trying to appease God, it's because we are His. We need to change the way we think about the way we think. And how sin just doesn't happen. You have to think about it. We have to change the way we think about resolving disputes between our brothers and those out in the world. Because we need to keep a good testimony so we can worship and we can minister in freedom. And then the grand finale. We need to change the way we think about sin. Folks, this is a problem in today's church. Well, it's just a little sin. God doesn't care about that. Oh, yes, He does. Well, other people are doing it. God doesn't care. Oh, yes, He does. See, we need a new awareness is needed. A new awareness is needed about dealing with sin. I think churches should preach on sin more. And judgment more. Yes, God is love. But we need to understand that He is still a holy God and we need to be holy in all manner of conversation. That's a commandment. Even as He is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So we need a new awareness needed about sin. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, it says, "Ye have heard that it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." Why? Did God pick this out? Couldn't He have picked out something else? Because it's rampant today. It's a cancer that's going through our society. It's a cancer that's going through our churches. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. See, sin starts with a root thought. Sin starts going to that website that you shouldn't go to. Sin starts with opening up that text that you should not have opened. Sin starts with giving a phone number to somebody you shouldn't have given a phone number to. Sin starts by putting yourself in a compromising position that you shouldn't even be there. We need to have a new awareness about what sin is. It starts with a root thought. And then if you have problems, then you need a radical approach. Now what Christ is going to say here, people aren't going to like it. But see, how does adultery start? It starts with the eye. It starts with the look. It starts with someone, wow, that person looks better than my wife. Or he looks better than my husband. And then Christ says this, "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body should be cast into hell." That's radical. Then about relationship with other people, shaking the right hand, making an agreement with it. "If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off." Folks, we need to cut off sinful relationships. We need to look on things that are pure and holy. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body should be cast into hell." And Christ tells Paul to write this in Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you're going to wrong places, stop. If you're looking at wrong things, stop. If you're talking to wrong people, stop. If you're drinking the wrong things, stop. If you're eating the wrong things, stop. If you're using the wrong things, stop. If you have bad friends, stop. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. That's radical, folks, in today's society. Today's church and church members want to get as close as they can to the world. Getting it out there. Well, I just looked at her. I didn't commit the act. What does God say? Well, I didn't go all the way. What's God say? Well, I didn't inhale. See, and people put up this veneer and they start changing words like what the meaning of is. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Folks, you just can't redefine stuff. If you're in sin, stop it. Call it for what it is. Confess it for what you did. And ask for God's mercy and His forgiveness. And leave it and forsake it. That's a radical approach. But it's what we need in our church today. It's what we need in all of our churches today. It's what you need in your life today. You need a new awareness about sin. You need a radical approach to sin. And lastly, we need to understand that God's standard is the supreme standard for our life. These last two verses, verses 31, says, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. See, that wasn't the law. The law that was given by God on Moses, to Moses, was, if you found that she was unclean, you give her a writing of divorcement. I.e., you found her who's not a virgin, or you found him not a virgin. That's when you could get a divorce. But see, they said, that just means that you didn't please your spouse. If yours is not happy with your spouse, you go get a new one. But God's law says you got to have a divorce, you got to have this writing of divorcement, so you go out and get a new one. See, they had changed God's law. And they said, well, it's just not, we weren't compatible. So now other people, including Christians, say, we're going to try before we buy. We'll live together. That way we don't get a divorce at all, because we'll just separate our own ways. Call sin what it is. Yeah. If it's against God's law, it's a sin. Don't cover it up with what the world teaches. That's a sin too. Because sin leads you to more sin. And it leads you to a habit. And it leads you to places you don't want to go at. So what they were doing is they were saying, we'll get a divorce for any reason. And that's happening in the church today. And if that happened to you, I'm sorry. But God's grace is sufficient. And His mercy is sufficient. And God can restore all that. If you're contemplating it, don't do it. Ask for God's grace in your life. He can restore. He can heal. He can fix. He can do all these things. You know why? He's God.
Amen.
But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causing her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committed adultery. More on this in Matthew chapter 19, but we're not going to get there today. I just want to give you a little inkling for this. The whole reason the bill of divorcement came up is because Christ is going to say, he says, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses suffered. He didn't want to do it. God didn't want to do it. He says, I'll suffer. I'll permit it to happen. Because of the hardness of your heart. You're unwilling to forgive your spouse that was unfaithful. But you want me to forgive you when you're unfaithful to me. See, the world's come in and destroyed all of God's institutions. And we, the church, have allowed it to happen. They've destroyed marriage and the family. They've destroyed what the church represents. They've destroyed government and what it's supposed to do. Folks, it's time to get a radical approach. It's time to change the way we think about things. Do we need to change the way we think this morning? Does God need to deal with you and you know that there's something not right? We're going to have a worship invitation. You can make that right with God. Do you have a relationship with Him this morning? Do you know if you die right now, you go to heaven? If you don't know, you need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning. If there's something in your life that you know is wrong and that's pleasing to God, get rid of it this morning. Confess it. Walk holy in His presence. Make a difference. Be salt and light. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask You this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts and help us to do business with You. Father, we just ask that You just be with each need that we have, Lord. Lord, for those that want to be forgiven, Lord, I just pray that You just release them from that today, that You give Your grace and forgiveness. Father, for those that do not have a relationship, Lord, help them to understand that You lived the perfect life, You fulfilled the law, that You died on the cross for their sins, that You paid the penalty for their sins, which was death, that You rose again to show that You were God, and that show that and that You could give the gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Father, be with us time of invitation. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.